word of the Lord this morning. So we're continuing. We're going to jump right into the middle this morning as we turn to the word of the Lord. And we are in a series that we've been looking at for the last few weeks. We're looking at famous prayer meetings, and we're looking at our partner in prayer, the Holy Spirit, who helps us in prayer. Almost any Christian you talk to will tell you, even old saints will tell you, it's not always easy to pray. Sometimes I get discouraged. I don't always know what to pray. I don't always know how to pray. I've been praying and there has not been an answer, and I just want to give up. All of these questions. So we have been looking at these things together, and we've been finding answers from the Word of God. And I trust and I pray that you have been encouraged to keep praying, to persevere in prayer, because you're not praying alone, as we know. We know that the Holy Spirit, our partner in prayer, is with us when we don't know how to pray. Remember our theme verse, Romans 8:26. When we don't know how to pray, the Holy Spirit helps us in prayer. And the Holy Spirit even prays for us with words that cannot be expressed. How many of you have prayed before and you really weren't saying any words? How many of you, there was a prayer in your spirit, but all you were doing was crying? Yep. Or you've been praying at other times and you were groaning, just groaning. The Bible says that's prayer. There are wordless prayers, and the Holy Spirit, so encouraging, isn't it? The Holy Spirit, this perfect partner in prayer, this perfect go-between, he knows what's in our hearts, and he knows the heart and the will of the Father, and he prays the perfect prayer. You can't get a better prayer partner than the Holy Spirit. So we've been looking, and I trust, and I've been praying, and I've been working towards, as I've been digging and studying, that you and I would grow in prayer, would grow in faithfulness in prayer, and would grow in faith in prayer, that as we pray and as we keep praying, God is going to answer the prayers that he puts on our heart. Because when we spend time with the Lord and we start praying, have you not found that God starts putting his desire in your heart? And as you start praying, then our hearts are encouraged and God begins to move and begin to work. So, last week, by way of quick review, we considered the Old Testament prophet Elijah, who at God's direction prayed and there was no rain for 3.5 years. And then he prayed again and God sent rain. And we finished up right at the end. So I want to remind you, as we look at this, look with me again at the process. Because remember last week we talked about pray until, right? Pray until. And so here's the progression. So go with me as well. Later on in the third year of the drought, the Lord said to Elijah, go and present yourself to King Ahab. Tell him that I will soon send rain. So let me ask you something this morning, brothers and sisters. As you have prayed, as you have waited on the Lord, is there something in your heart that you believe God has put there? A promise, a hope, a dream, a desire, and you know it honors the Lord, and you've been praying about it, and you believe it comes from the Lord. Many of us are in that place, so we have this in our hearts, just as Elijah had a word from God. But a word is not yet a reality. It's real, but it is not yet seen. It is not yet realized. And God gives Elijah this word, I'm going to send rain. Are you at that place this morning? God has put a promise in your heart and you've been praying, I am going to. If he has, what do you do now? You do what Elijah does. You start praying. God speaks further. You remain faithful. There's the word or the promise of God. And then we go further into the story. In 1 Kings 18:41, Elijah said to Ahab, this is after praying on the mountain and God showing he was God, go up and eat and drink, for there is the sound of heavy rain. the sound of heavy rain in the spirit is more than the promise of God, right? It's more than the word of God. There's something stirring in his heart. There's the sound of heavy rain. We talked about this. Hong Kong is classic in this, right? Sometimes you'll be out somewhere, you'll be on the street or in your home, and you'll hear a roar in the distance, yes? And it gets closer and closer and closer, and before you know it, boom, it's on you, and you're just wet from top to bottom, because that's how rains are in Hong Kong, right? Oh, wouldn't we desire, don't we want the promise of God and the rain of God to fall upon us in the same way? Yes, we do. And so Elijah has a heart stirred in faith to believe, and he tells Ahab, go on, I hear the sound of rain. What comes up next? So here's this increase. So Ahab went to eat and drink, because it's the end of the famine. It's the end of this drought. But Elijah went up to the summit of Mount Carmel. He bowed down to the ground and put his face between his knees. It never says the word prayer right here, but what is Elijah doing? He's praying. He's praying. And sometimes, how many of you have found, we're going to talk about postures of prayer today just a little bit. How many of you have found sometimes when you are really desperately crying out to the Lord, sometimes you're kind of on your face before God. You may be on your knees. You may be bent over. You may be stretched out in that way. And Elijah had his face down to the ground, and he was praying, because somebody is going to have to pray until we have the promise of God. We have the sound of rain. But a promise is not yet realized. The sound is not yet the rain. And somebody's going to have to pray until. And in this case, it was Elijah. He prayed until. Are you willing to pray until? It's going to take praying until for the promise of God to be realized. It's going to take praying until for the sound of rain to become rain in our situations, in our families, in our finances, in our health, in our businesses, in our kids, in our marriages, all of these things. So Elijah is praying, and what does he pray? In effect, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You see, now he knows the will of God. Sometimes we are praying, and we're just kind of praying here and there because we don't yet know the will of God. But if you will keep on praying, and if you will dig in, the point will come when your spirit locks in with the Holy Spirit, and then you know what the will of God is. And when we know what the will of God is for our situation, we start praying. That's when we can really pray in faith, right? Because we know, God, this is your will. Not just the general will of God in the word of God, but the will of God for your situation. So what does Elijah start praying at that point? Look with me. Then he said to his servant, go up and look toward the sea. So he went up, looked, and he said, there's nothing. And Elijah said, go again 7 times. What's happening now? What's happening now is he has the promise of God. He knows what the will of God is, and he's praying now that the timing of God will come to pass in God's time, but as he's praying. And there are many of us here this morning. The burden of our heart is for the timing of God. We know what God has put in our hearts. We know this desire, and we've got to stick with it. We've got to pray until. We've got to pray until the rain begins to fall. And here's this beautiful picture of praying until, because Elijah prays 7 times, which is the number of completion. In other words, he has prayed until. Holy Spirit is so good, isn't he? He gives us this beautiful picture of what it that we can understand with our pea brains sometimes. Here's a picture of praying until, and he uses a symbolic number. And then at the 7th time, the servant said, behold. I like that. Behold. Behold is Bible language for what word? Look. Okay. As simple as that, it really is. Look. Okay. And the servant says, behold, a little cloud like a man's hand is rising from the sea. Sometimes God's answers to your prayers start small. Don't despise small things when it is the work of God. do what Elijah did. Yes, God, I receive that. Yes, God, I claim that. Yes, God, I believe that. And then you start acting on it. And Elijah says, go tell Ahab, get your chariot, go back down so that the rain doesn't stop you. And in a little while, the heavens grew black with clouds and wind, and there was a great rain. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So here we have this picture. Now, you think I'm going to re-preach all of last week's sermon. I'm not, because that's right at the end of last week's sermon. But I wanted to encourage us and remind us of that whole arc of Elijah's prayers. Do we believe this? Do we believe this? Do you say yes? Yes, I believe that. Yes, I agree with that. We're lying. Because if we really believed this, we would pray differently, wouldn't we? Believe me, I am not condemning you this morning. I preach this, but I don't always pray this. But I want to, don't you? I want to. And we are reminded of this. How do we know that this example is for us? Because James, all the way in the New Testament, tremendous power is made available through a righteous person's earnest, heartfelt, intense, continued prayer. Elijah was a man just like us. I told you that's one of the most mind-blowing verses in the Bible. Elijah, who raised the dead with his prayers. Elijah, who called down fire from heaven at least three times. Elijah, who did not taste death, but whoosh, went up to heaven in a chariot of fire. Wouldn't you like to go that way rather than through suffering and illness? That's how I'd like to go too. I'd be happy with a chariot of fire to go to heaven as well. And as we look at this, we see Elijah and the promise of God. Listen, brothers and sisters, Elijah was a man just like us, just like you, just like you, Timothy, just like you. I got a young person, Joshua, just like you. God does not reserve powerful answers to prayer to those who are older and mature. God looks at the heart. God hears our prayers. And so Elijah was a man just like us. But when he prayed earnestly and fervently that it would not rain, none fell for 3.5 years. And he prayed, and the sky gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. So we continue this morning as we look at that. And as we go on with this, we're going to sort of stay in the same direction, but we're going to look at some other examples this morning that will encourage us. We're going to stay in the Old Testament this morning. We looked last week at Elijah. We talked about it this morning. And we're going to go all the way back even further in the Old Testament to another example of prayer that you may say, what? This is prayer? Yes, it is. This is persevering prayer? Yes, it is. But I'm going to start with a verse that may discourage you first. Ready? These are the words of Jesus. Luke 18:1. Jesus told his disciple, are you a disciple of Jesus this morning? Okay, so Jesus is speaking to us as well this morning. He told his disciples a parable on the need for them to pray always and not to faint. How many of you pray always and you don't faint? I read that and I think, I don't pray always and I faint often. Does that describe you? Or just your pastor? It describes all of us. And Jesus says this to us because he knows what we're like. Jesus says this to us because he knows what prayer is. Jesus says this to us because he knows what prayer does. Amen? Amen. And so this morning, whoops, hang on. Here we go. We're going to talk about don't faint. Okay? Don't faint. So I'm taking it from the words of Jesus. They ought always to pray and not to faint. This expression, faint, also means don't grow discouraged and give up. That's an informal way of saying don't faint. So let's look at this together. And we're going to go all the way back to the Old Testament. And we're going to go to the book of Exodus. And we're going to look at this example that will help us to not faint. Here we go. You ready? From Exodus chapter 17, verses 8 through 13, we're going to read them. You can follow along in your Bibles if you want to. While the people of Israel were still at Rephidim, the warriors of Amalek attacked them. This takes place not a long time after they've left Egypt. They haven't learned any fighting skills yet. There's been no fight. The great thing, and there's another truth there, but the great thing was when they left Egypt, they did not raise a single weapon. God did it all. Everything. Remember what God said to his people? Stand still and see the glory of the Lord. I will fight for you today. And there are times in our Christian walk, we'll talk about this more a different time, not this morning, when God does it all. But brothers and sisters, as you and I walk with the Lord, do you know what we will find? If you've not found it yet, let us tell you what you will find. You will find that as you walk with the Lord, there will be times, more times than not, when you will cooperate with God, you will work with God, you will go hand in hand with God in prayer, and you will fight. And you'll win as well. Moses commanded Joshua, choose some men to go out and fight the army of Amalek for us. Tomorrow, I will stand at the top of the hill holding the staff of God in my hand. Okay, how many military people with military experience? I know of one. How many people with military experience do we have in Lighthouse this morning? Just John. He was in the British military, and there are a few others as well. So if I were to ask John, who has military experience, about this, I wonder what he would say. Moses says, choose some men to go out and fight the army, and I'll stand on top of the hill holding a piece of wood. Okay? I am not sure about this battle plan. Because guess what? Moses had been a shepherd for 40 years, and Joshua and all the men had only ever been slaves. A shepherd and slaves. How about that? With a piece of wood standing on top of the hill. So Joshua, at least he's obedient, he did what Moses had commanded, and he fought the army of Amalek. Meanwhile, Moses, Aaron, and Hur climbed to the top of a nearby hill. By the way, this is the first time we meet this great guy, Joshua, that's going to be used in a wonderful way. Right here in these verses. We don't hear about him before then, but now we meet him. And so Moses does just what he says, and he climbs the hill with Aaron and Hur and the staff of God. And Joshua does just what he said he would do. He goes down and he begins to fight the army of Amalek with these other slaves. So what happens next? As long as Moses held up the staff in his hand, the Israelites had the advantage. But whenever he dropped his hand, the Amalekites gained the advantage. Moses' arms soon became so tired he could no longer hold them up. So Aaron and Hur found a stone for him to sit on. Then they stood on each side of Moses, holding up his hands. So his hands held steady. Really important word here. And this word held steady, this phrase held steady means to be firm. Be firm. Wow. How many of you can you be firm in prayer for extended periods? I can be firm for a short period, but for extended periods, not so easy. But we're going to see some answers here today. His hands held steady until sunset. As a result, Joshua overwhelmed the army of Amalek in battle. Here is an example of prayer for us this morning about not fainting. And you may say, but Pastor, the word prayer does not show up. I just read the passage with you. It's not anywhere in this passage. Stay with me and let's look at some things together. So let's look at a little bit of background. Hang on to that question. Are you sure this is about prayer? Some of you have already been there and done that. And you already are convinced, right? I know this is about prayer. Some of you aren't so sure. Well, I don't want to preach anything to you that's not in the Bible, so stick with me and let's see. But let's look a little bit at the background this morning. Sometime later, when Moses is talking with them, now as we go a little bit further, let's find out a little bit more about this attack, okay? This is why you want to read not just one part. This you want to read throughout the Bible. Deuteronomy 25:17-18, Moses is giving them an oral history of what has happened, okay? At that point, they're not writing everything down or whatever. They've been traveling through the wilderness, and so he reminds them, this is what happened to us. Look with me, verses 17 and 18. Remember what the Amalekites did to you on the journey after you left Egypt. They met you along the way, and they attacked all who were lagging behind when you were tired and weary. They did not fear God. So here's our background, right? So this tells us a little bit more about the Amalekites. So what do we see here? The attack of the Amalekites is an unprovoked attack. The attack of the Amalekites is a sneak attack. It comes in from the rear. Now this tells us something about the enemy then and the enemy now, and he doesn't change his tactics. He's the same always. The enemy never fights fair. Have you ever found the enemy is more likely to attack you when you're really tired? When you're really exhausted? When you're really worn out? When you're lagging behind? That's when the enemy attacks. Why? Because we're more vulnerable then. And he's waiting for the weak moment. This is what he's waiting for. And so Moses describes the attack of the Amalekites. But what we see here is that it was an unprovoked attack. So as we look at this, let's look at what happens. We've talked about this. Moses goes up. When he raises his hands, Joshua overcomes when his hands get tired. Then they are defeated, and then Aaron and Hur come along beside, and they hold up his hands, and they help him in prayer. So everything goes exactly as they said. So who is praying as we look at this? Who's praying? Moses is praying, right? Moses is praying. Now here we get some of you who are saying, I'm not convinced about this. There's no prayer mentioned here. Is Moses really praying? When he lifts his hands, Moses is praying. Brothers and sisters, when we go through the Bible, I told you I was going to talk a little bit about postures of prayer this morning. And I want to encourage you, and I don't want to step on any toes, but I want to encourage you this morning as we pray and as we enter into God in prayer. And as we look at this, if you will start from the beginning and go to the end, but it'll take you a long time. So I did it for you with my super duper quick Bible program for pastors. More than 24 times from the beginning to the end, specifically lifting up of hands and prayer are mentioned together. There's no question that when Moses lifts up his hands, this is an attitude, this is a posture, this is an action of prayer. Moses is not out on the hill doing his morning exercise. You know, some of us lived in China, Keith and I, and Moses, and Pedro, and Stephen, and Esperanza, and some of the rest of you as well from Beijing. And what happened, and Jocelyn, right here. What happened, and probably a few others of you as well. What happened every morning about 5:30 or 6? The music starts playing, right? Loudly outside on the speakers, right? And if you look out the window, what do you see? You see a whole bunch of people, and they're out there doing their morning exercise, right? So I'll show you my ignorance. For the first year in China, I heard this song every morning at 5:30, and I thought it was the national anthem of China. I did. I thought it was the national anthem. And one day I said something to one of my students. I said, you know, the national anthem of China. And I hummed the tune. And she looked at me. She said, teacher. I was a teacher. She said, that's a sports song. And that's when I found out, okay, it's a sports song. It's not the national anthem. And they were out there doing their morning exercise. So it's early morning. And Moses is up on the hill. And he's lifting up his hands. And he's holding this stick. It is not morning exercises. It is not activity. It is prayer. And when we engage in prayer, things happen. When we engage in prayer, things happen. Now, unlike Moses, we don't always see things happen right away, but things happen. And God, the Holy Spirit, wants us, I believe, he wants us to see this picture so that we can see that when God's people pray, something happens. Something happens. You may not always see it. And when we don't see it, we are tempted to think, my prayers are puny. We are tempted to think God's not listening. We are tempted to think God's not going to answer. But God inspired this, I believe, because in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, it says specifically, all of these things in the Old Testament, they were written for our examples. Really, they're written for our examples. And I believe God wanted his people and wants his people to see the direct correlation between prayer and answers, between prayer and victory. And so his hands go up in prayer, and victory is found in the valley. His hands lower, he begins to faint, right? He begins to faint, and victory is lost in the valley. God wants us to see this. Now, I want to encourage you. Some of you are still not convinced. I think I can read your faces. I can read your eyes. I can't see your faces completely because of the masks. I told you more than 24 times. Look at a few of them. 2 Chronicles 6:12. Then Solomon stood before the altar of the Lord in front of the entire community of Israel, and he lifted his hands in prayer. This is when they were building the temple. Job 11:13. If only you would prepare your heart and lift up your hands to him in prayer. Psalm 28:2 of David, Psalm of David. Listen to my prayer for mercy as I cry out to you for help, as I lift my hands towards your holy sanctuary. Psalm 63:4. I will praise you as long as I live, lifting up my hands to you in prayer. Psalm 143:6. I lift my hands to you in prayer. I thirst for you as a parched land thirsts for rain. And just in case you think it's all Old Testament, 1 Timothy 2:8. In every place of worship, I want men to pray with holy hands lifted up to God, free from anger and controversy. Is what is Moses doing when he lifts his hands with the staff? He's praying. He's praying. And we see this beautiful movement of God. When hands are lifted in prayer, victory is won. When Moses grows faint, victory is lost. And God wants us to see this. He's holding a staff in his hand. What is special about the staff? Some of us this morning say, well, I can't pray like Moses said. I don't have a staff of God. Yes, you do. Do you know what the staff of God is? In the Old Testament, it's a physical symbol. It's a physical symbol that they could see of the power of God and the authority of God. And when Moses lifted the staff, the power of God was displayed through the staff, right? Remember with the staff when he was before Pharaoh and before Pharaoh's magicians. And then when he raised the staff over the river and it turned to blood. And then at other times, the staff of God is the symbol of God's power and God's authority. Where is that in your life and in my life? As you and I pray, God of heaven and earth displays his power through you. Through you, through me. You're the staff of God, if you want to think of it in that way. Why? The staff is something simple. It's simple. The staff is something fallible. The staff is something that can be broken. The staff is something weak. It's made of wood. You and I are simple. You and I are broken. You and I are weak. But it doesn't depend on us. It's the power of God that flows through us to touch situations, to touch people, when we are united with God in prayer. So don't faint. Keep praying always. Amen? Amen, amen. So Moses' hands are upraised in prayer on the hill. Joshua overcomes in the valley. But he gets tired, doesn't he? Do you get tired? I used to get so, time for reality. I've told you this before. I'm going to tell you again. I used to get so convicted. No, convicted's not the right word. Condemned. That's the word I want. Sometimes at night I would pray. I'd pray for a while, and then you know what? I'd just fall asleep. Or I'd be half praying, and suddenly I'd be thinking about puppy dogs. I don't know. And before you say, oh, Pastor, you do the same thing, right? We pray for a while, then our mind goes this way and that way. And some people are really good at praying in bed. My mom is really good at praying in bed. She can just pray in bed and just keep on praying. Why don't we close the doors instead of leaving them open? Ushers? I've lost you. No? Okay. Here we go. Let's keep going. If you can pray in bed and keep praying, just do it. If you pray in bed and then you sleep for a while and then you wake up again, you pray, don't get condemned. Just keep on praying or just go to sleep. Me, I've told you this before, I sometimes have to walk to keep praying. I do, and I think it used to when I would pray with other people, it kind of drove them crazy at times, but then I decided, okay, if I drive you crazy, I just won't pray with you because I've got to walk to pray. And I would walk, sorry camera, I would walk back and forth and I would walk around the room. And when I pray in my apartment, I've got things in the middle of the room. So I start on one side and I go all the way around and I know which way I'm going so I don't run into anything. And sometimes I pray with my eyes open and I go around and I'll just pray. And I can keep alert when I do that. You do what you need to do. You do what you need to do to keep alert in prayer, whatever that is, and don't let other people bother you. Don't let other people say, that's not praying. You do what works for you. What did Moses do? He sat on a rock on top of a hill and raised his hands, but he got tired. So I want us to look at a verse here because we just read here. Let me go back to that just a minute so you can see it again. This one, we read it just a minute ago. Moses' arms soon became so tired he could no longer hold them up. And I want you to see something there. It says soon became so tired he could not hold them up. There's something that's not natural about this, is there? There's something beyond the physical here. And I think there's something that we need to see here because this is a picture of prayer. Real prayer, intercessory prayer, is hard work. Real prayer, intercessory prayer, really requires something of you. Oh, something that goes beyond your natural strength. And let me show you this. Let's look at this verse that describes Moses, because this says he soon became so tired he couldn't even hold his hands up. Now, by the way, this is holding your hands up. Couldn't he just do this? That's holding your hands up. Yeah, that's holding your hands up too. But he became so tired he couldn't do this. Now, look at this verse with me. You may not have noticed it before. Deuteronomy 34:7. Moses was 120 years old when he died, yet his eyesight was clear and he was as strong as ever. The ESV version says that his eye was undimmed and his vigor unabated. I really like that. It's a wonderful expression. So we see here in Moses someone who was physically very fit. I think probably almost like a gifting from the Lord. I shouldn't say gifting, an enabling from the Lord, an equipping from the Lord to lead the people of God in this way. And yet in this circumstance, he gets so tired really quickly, he can't even hold his hands up. Who should get tired? Joshua should get tired. He's in the valley fighting. But Moses is the one that gets tired very soon. And yet Moses has this clear eye and unabated vigor. So what's happening? What's going on? What does the Lord want us to see in this? And what we see here is prayer can be hard work. Don't take that the wrong way. But when we are really praying about something, it takes something from you. It takes something from you. So how are you going to make it through? Because Jesus said, pray and don't faint. Pray always and don't faint. You can't do it by yourself. You can't. You cannot in your own power pray always and not faint. It is impossible. It's too hard for you. It's too taxing for you. It's too difficult spiritually for you. Thankfully, the Lord has never asked you to do it on your own. And we have here with Moses and Aaron and Hur, this beautiful picture of a partnership in prayer. And so I remind you of this again. So his arms get tired. Aaron and Hur, what do? They find a stone. He sits down, and Aaron and Hur hold his hands up with the staff, and they work with him to make it happen. I don't know about you, but I've heard messages before. I've heard expressions before. Have you ever heard somebody say, oh, I am his Aaron and Hur. I'm going to help. I am a partner. And it's okay to say that. And I have heard messages and sermons and devotionals before about how we partner with others in prayer and help them in prayer. It's okay to say those things. It's not necessarily wrong, but what I do want to say is this. Don't keep it at that level. If we look at this incredible picture of battling and hands raised here, if we look at this and we keep it purely in the level of Johnny, because Johnny's right here. So Johnny's praying with me. He's my friend. He's helping me to pray, just like her. And Pedro, he's my other friend, and he's just like Aaron, and so they're helping me so I can keep praying. That is true, and we can encourage one another in prayer, and we should pray together, but don't stop there. Because the help that we see here and the picture that we see here goes far beyond earthly people helping Moses. I believe with all my heart, and I wouldn't be talking about it this morning if I didn't believe this and if I didn't see this as we look at the Word of God. The picture that we have here is of divine help in prayer. Do you see that? It's a picture of divine help. Who helps us in prayer? Who is our partner in prayer? It's the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit. And so we see Aaron and Hur who come alongside Moses. Moses does the best he can. His heart is in it. He wants it. These are his people. He's invested, but in himself and by himself, there's not enough to win the victory. You're invested. Your heart is in it, but in yourself, there's not enough to win the victory. You're going to have the help of the Holy Spirit. You're going to have divine help. And I believe Aaron and Hur on either side lifting up hands are a picture of the divine help that is ours when we commit to pray. When we commit to pray. God could easily have sent angels straight from heaven, boom, killed all of the Amalekites. And he didn't do it. He used Moses. He used Joshua. He used unnamed others. And Aaron and Hur came alongside. This is how God chooses to work. He does not do it by ourselves, himself. We are unable to do it by ourselves. But together with God, we will raise the staff of the Lord. Though we get weak, and though we get tired, the Lord never gets weak. The Lord never gets tired. And the victory will be won. The victory will be overcome. I was thinking about this as I was thinking about Aaron and Hur standing on the other side of on each side of Moses, steadying him, giving their strength to Moses in prayer. And it gives us the picture of the heavenly help that we have when we choose to pray. Let me take a detour for just a minute, and I want to talk just very quickly about the posture of prayer and how we pray. And as I said, I don't want to step on any toes, but I want to encourage you in this area this morning. A few years ago when we were in the Philippines, we were having a youth conference at Rizal, outside of Manila. And so Lighthouse Young People from the churches had come from all over the Philippines. And there was one particular group that came, and they were the group that came from Pastor Vivian's church in Pastor Vivian's area. And the majority of the young people were Atas young people from the tribe. So most of us know, some of us may not know yet. So this tribe that lived up on top of the mountain, it was the first time most of them had ever even been outside of their mountain or the town. at the bottom of the at the town at the bottom of the mountain. They had I don't think any of them had ever been to Manila before. And those of you that know about the Aetes tribe know that in the Philippines they are marginalized, they are often despised, they are looked down upon. And so the youth conference was going on, and this was, we'd had the night before, and this was the next morning, and God was moving in a wonderful way. And everybody was praying, and there was such a sweet, just a sweet spirit of the Lord. And I looked over, and all of the Aetes were youth were seated together in one place because we were translating for them. We were translating into Ilocano for them because they understood Ilocano and maybe some other dialects as well. I'm not so sure. But they were all seated together, so there was translation. And everybody was praying. And so all the other youth, people were praying, and there were these open expressions of prayer and praise. Stephen may remember that. Panina may remember that. I'm not sure. Just open expressions of praise. Other people had their hands up, praising the Lord, heads up, praising the Lord and praying. Just this spirit of prayer. And the whole group of Aetes, to my recollection, every single one of them, they were praying. It was not that they were not praying. They were praying, and they were praying sincerely. In fact, brothers and sisters, do you know what? At times when we would have prayer times during that youth conference, I mean, this touched my heart. At times, as they prayed, especially among the Aetes youth, and some of you will remember that, there were so many tears as they prayed that the ground in front of them, the cement floor in front of them, was often wet in those times of prayer, just as they cried out to the Lord. Talk about sincere hearts. You think the Lord didn't hear their prayers? Of course he did. So anyhow, the Aetes youth were there, and they all had their heads lowered. And every one of them, I think without exception, heads down like this, hands by their side, and they were praying. And I looked, and my heart was touched because I felt like there was something going on. And I think as I look at it, it was because perhaps they had not seen another way of praying or worshiping. But I think also it was, we're Aetes. We are this. And so they were praying, but this is how they were praying. And so when it was my turn to preach later that morning, I think Stephen had led them in worship, and I just got up and I just spoke to them, to everybody. I didn't single anyone out, but I said, hey, I want to talk with you about praying and praising and worshiping and talking to the Lord. And you know what it says in the Bible? In the Bible it says, and I just very simply and very briefly talked about what the Bible says, that when we pray, that we can lift up our hands to the Lord, and we can lift our voices, and we can lift our heads, because they'd all been praying, but so quietly, it was all in their heart. And praise the Lord, they heard it, they received it, and the Holy Spirit spoke to their hearts. And from that point onward, there was a change. And the very next time we sang together, and we worshiped together, and we praised together, I looked over at the group still together, and again, almost to a person, every single one of them had their heads up and they had their hands up in prayer and in praise and in worship. And there was a change. It was not just an outward thing, like, okay, the Bible says lift my hands, but in your heart you're doing this. And I tell you that example because, brothers and sisters, I want to encourage you in this area. We don't like anybody to tell us what to do. I'm just speaking really honestly, right? We don't like it when somebody tells us what to do. In fact, I have seen speakers before in churches, and I relate to this so much because I'm the same way. I hope, you know, if your favorite TV evangelist does this, I apologize, because I don't have anybody in mind right now. But, you know, sometimes I'll hear a TV evangelist, he'll be preaching in a way, and he'll say happy. And everyone says happy. And then he'll keep on preaching, and then he'll say, I am blessed by God. And everybody, I am blessed by God. So, I don't know if your TV evangelist does that or not. When I hear that, do you know what happens in my heart? And I feel myself, I feel my spirit rise up, and I think, I am not saying that, right? I am not going to say happy. Or even worse, turn to your neighbor and say, you are beloved of God. Okay? You are beloved of God. We do that occasionally at Lighthouse, but I think as preachers and pastors and speakers, we need to be careful about that. People aren't puppets. You're not trying to jerk people around. And I believe for all of us, we don't want people to tell us what to do. We want to do it from our hearts. But what I do believe is this also. I think we can come to the Word of God, and we can and should adjust our outlook, adjust our attitudes, adjust our hearts, and adjust our actions to what the Word of God tells us. And I want to encourage you, brothers and sisters, if you say, I am not raising my hands. I saw a speaker one time saying, okay, everybody, I want you to raise your hands and praise the Lord. I saw it. And I saw one person go, I'm not exaggerating. I saw it and I thought, and I think the preacher was sincere. I don't think he was jerking people's chains or things like that. But I'm really being serious. I want to encourage you, not because I'm saying it, but I want to encourage you, if in your own practice you don't give outward expression in prayer and in praise and in worship, what I want to tell you is this. It's in the Bible, and it's throughout the Bible, and it is from beginning to end, we give expression to what's in our hearts. And I want to tell you this. If you cannot remember the last time you raised your hands in prayer, if you cannot remember the last time you raised your hands in praise, if you can't remember you've ever done it, I want to ask you, why not? Why not? Maybe you're not comfortable with it. Maybe somebody messed you up with it or whatever. Oh, forget it. People mess us up all the time. God never messes us up. But I want to encourage you in this area. Keith and I were in Beijing together for several years, and we went to the same fellowship. It was a big international fellowship. Stephen went there for a year, and Moses also, right? That's right, Moses and Pedro and Esperanza and some others as well. And we were such a mix of people, such a mix. At one end, charismatic. I mean, they wanted to jump and dance and shout and wave banners and things like that. And at the other end, people that had prayers of confession and that wanted communion every Sunday and this and that. I mean, and everything in between, everything in between. And there was one particular man, Harvey, who was very, very conservative. He just didn't whatever. And I looked over at this person one day. He was an older man, American, super conservative, because we were serving together on the worship committee that oversaw. And I looked over at this man, and you know what? I knew that this was not natural to him. I knew that this was not native to his worship experience. But I looked over at him, and you know what he was doing during the worship service? Like that. And every Sunday after that in worship, I'd look over, and he would be. He didn't really love it. And then over time, he got more natural. But you know why he did it? And this is something I respect so much. He did it because he knew it's in the Word of God. This is what God's Word says, that we are to lift up holy hands. And so he did it. And so I just want to encourage you, brothers and sisters. I want to encourage you. And I know this is not our main message, but the Lord put this on my heart. If you have not, I want to encourage you to. Don't say, well, Pastor Jennifer, you're not going to tell me what to do. I'm not. It's not my business to tell you what I think. But it is my responsibility to say, this is what the Word of God shows us. And so I want to encourage you in this area. And you will find, as you respond to the Lord and in obedience to what the Word of God says, that God will do something within you. As you respond outwardly, God will do something on the inside. So let's close with this morning, because I told you that our point was, don't faint. Don't faint. Keep on praying. But we do get tired, don't we? We do get tired, and we do faint. When did the battle come? As we come to a close this morning, and I want to show you something as we look at this. If you'll look back in the Bible at the beginning of chapter 17 in Exodus 17, do you know when the Amalekites attacked the Israelites? You look back the few verses right before that, and you will find that it is when God does a mighty miracle for them. You will see it is when God tells Moses, They say, we don't have water. We're in the wilderness. There's nothing to drink. And God tells Moses, you go to that rock. I will stand before you, and you strike that rock, and water will come forth. And that's what Moses did. And water gushed forth in the wilderness where there was no water. Water gushed forth enough for 2 million people. And do you know how long they stayed in this area? If you read it, do you know what you'll find? They stayed in this area for about a year, because this is right by Mount Sinai. They stayed there for about a year. Enough water in the wilderness for 2 million people for around a year. Of course Amalek is going to attack. It's in the wilderness. It's in the desert. There's no water source. And suddenly there's water coming from a rock. Of course they're going to attack. Now, what does that say to you and to me? All you have to do is look at 1 Corinthians. Are you ready for this? And they all drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank from a spiritual rock that accompanied them, and that rock was Christ. So here's the picture for us, brothers and sisters. Was it water in the wilderness from a rock? Yes, it was. Was it more than that? Yes, it was. It was the blessing of Christ. It was the abundance of Christ. It was the flow of God upon his people. And that's when Amalek attacked. And Amalek attacked to get from them what God had given to them. And that is why you and I are going to have to pray always and faint not, because your Amalek will come in, and he will attack, and he will fight, and he comes in to rob from you the blessings that God has for you. He will come in and attack to take from you the blessings of health that God has for you, the blessings of a Christian family and a Christian home and Christian children and Christian partners who live harmoniously in love and honor and respect for each other. He comes in to attack from the businesses and the employment that God has for you. It's ordained of God. And he comes in. When does he come in? He comes in to steal and take from you what God has given you and what God has for you. And so you're going to have to do what Moses did. But you can't do it by yourself. You're going to have to hold up the staff of God in prayer. And you're going to have to pray always and faint not. But you're going to faint. So how are you going to faint not? Where's Moses? He's on the hill. Where Aaron and Hur? Where Aaron and Hur? Where are your Aaron and Hur? Your divine help. We close with this verse that you know. Do you not know? Have you not understood? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of all the earth. He never grows what? Faint or weary. Well, that's great, God, that you don't. There is no limit to his understanding. I'm so glad that God doesn't grow faint, but I grow faint. And what does he say? He gives power to the faint and strength to the powerless. Hallelujah. You're Aaron and Hur. You wait on the Lord. Look what is, even youths will grow faint. Oh, there's that word again. Ding, 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 right? Even youths will faint and grow weary, and young men will fall in exhaustion. You know, young men have more energy than anybody in the world, right? Johnny, how long can you play rugby? Hours. He wants to eat a horse afterwards, but he can play for hours. He'll keep on going. But at some point, he'll get tired. It is natural to. It is natural to faint. It is natural to grow weary. So you need what is supernatural. But those who wait on the Lord will find new strength. Or your translation says, will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. Pray always. Don't faint. Where is your help? Where is my help? with the Lord. It's with the Lord. It's with the Lord. We will win. We can win. But we've got to get our strength from the Lord. And our hands have to be raised up. And God says, don't worry. This impossible thing that I tell you to do. Pray always. Oh, God. Don't faint. Oh, God. God says, don't worry. I'm with you. I'm going to hold your hands up. You're going to soar on wings like eagles. You're going to run. You're not going to be weary. You're going to walk, and you're not going to faint. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Panina, come. Worship team, come forward. I'm going to pray for you. I invite you to stand. I'm going to pray for you, and then we're going to sing one more song this morning. We're going to sing Showers of Blessing. Andreas, if you don't have it in Chinese, I'll do it. Okay? Panina, come on up. Grab the wireless. Amen. Let me pray for you first, and then we're going to sing. We've been talking about the blessing of the Lord. Amen. Let's pray. Don't say, okay, let's sing. Pray first. I invite you to raise your hands and praise the Lord and lift hands to Him this morning. Lord, here we are. God, some of us this morning feel a little bit strange lifting our hands, but you know what? Your word says it, so we're going to do it. We lift hands to you in prayer. We thank you. Lord, we hear what you say to us. Pray always and don't faint. But Lord, I don't always pray, and I faint a lot. So Lord, help me to wait on you and receive the strength and receive your power. You never grow weary. You never faint. We receive from you that we can fight the fight that you have for us, that we can win the battle that is in front of us, that when Amalek comes to take your blessings from our lives and what you have promised for us, we will stand. We will raise our hands in prayer, and we will be victorious because you are with us and you strengthen our hands. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We receive your blessing this morning in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just keep on worshiping the Lord. You can sing if you want to, or you can just keep on praying and praising if you want to. Panina's going to lead us. Panina, you want to come right here so you can see the words? You've got the words? Do you mind if I stay right here? You stay here. I'll move here. Amen. Amen. Let's worship the Lord this morning. Amen. Amen.
Showers of blessing, this is the promise of love. There shall be seasons refreshing, sent from the Savior above. Showers of blessing, showers of blessing we need. Mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we plead. There shall be showers of blessing, precious reviving again, over the hills and the valleys, song of abundance of rain. There shall be showers of blessing, send them upon us, O Lord. Grant to us now a refreshing, come and now honor thy word. Showers of blessing, showers of blessing we need. Mercy drops round us are falling, there shall be showers of blessing. Oh, that today they might fall. Now as to God we're confessing, now as on Jesus we call. Showers of blessing, showers of blessing we need. Mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we plead.
Showers,
showers of blessing, showers of blessing we need. Mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we plead.
There's one more verse. You may not know this one. We don't have it in Chinese. If we trust and obey, amen.
There shall be showers of blessing if we but trust and obey. There shall be seasons refreshing if we let God have His way. Showers of blessing, showers of blessing we need. Mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we plead.
Amen, amen, amen. Beloved, whatever else you're praying for, whatever else you're praying for, let this be part of your prayers. Let this be part of your prayers for your life and for the church. Amen. Showers of blessing. I am praying this for you and for me every day. And for the church every day. Every day. Every day. I think I hear, I already have the word of the Lord. I already have the promise of the Lord. I think I hear the sound. I'm ready for the rain. Amen. Amen. God bless you, beloved. Have a great week if you joined us online. God bless you, too. We hope to see you back in person soon. God bless you as you go. Amen.